Right. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight is Terry Jackson, who's filling in for David Harris, who is still in the hospital, may come home tomorrow, and they may have everything going in the right direction for him. And we're just thankful that he's doing better. We want to welcome you to the program tonight. This is a live call-in program. The number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we're airing tonight from KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. We're also airing on KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and also we're airing on the Gospel Radio Network. We want to remind you again that this is a live call-in program, and if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to remind you of our additional sponsors of our program. We're being sponsored tonight by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we are delighted to have you in our audience tonight. We also want to remind you that our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Bible illiteracy. Bible illiteracy is very much a growing problem in our world today. It's a growing problem also in the church. Americans, they revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it very much. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. People just do not know what the Bible says. How bad is it, Terry? How bad is the ignorance of some people today in our world concerning the Bible?
Well, Tom, I tell you, it's getting bad, and I'm afraid it's bad and it's getting worse. According to several different surveys that have been done, fewer than half of all adults can name the four gospel accounts.
Or can't name them.
And many professing Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the apostles. 60% of Americans can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. 82% of Americans believe God helps those who help themselves is a verse out of the Bible. Now, here's one that kind of tickles me if it wasn't so tragic. 12% adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. And one of the saddest to me is that a number of those who had responded to one poll thought that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham.
You know, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be very comical.
That's right.
To some of the ideas that people have concerning the Bible or their lack of understanding. You know, a lot of people say, like Denny says here on the chat box, that a lot of people say, instead of the Bible says, they say, my pastor says.
Exactly.
You know, they have no idea what the Bible has to say about anything, and that's causing us a great deal of problem in our world, and indeed, America is biblically illiterate. Now, biblical illiteracy is like a poison. It wreaks havoc in the lives of individuals, in our churches, and in our communities. And to understand how, let's look tonight, Terry, at several things that really shows us how bad or how ill effect that Bible ignorance has on our society. You know, let's talk about the poison of biblical illiteracy. It has an effect on individuals, doesn't it, Terry?
Yes, Tom, it does. And it always has. You know, in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, the Bible talks about the Jews. Paul mentioned that the Jews, they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. If we go back into the Old Testament, look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy, now notice this, Tom, or knowledge of God in the land. And then verse 6, he adds, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children.
You know, Terry, this has always been a problem where God's people have been destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
That's right.
This is something that has always been around, something that is continuing to occur. You know, we can destroy ourselves in many ways. We can destroy our spiritual well-being. That's the most important thing to be concerned about. How many people have ruined their physical lives because they simply did not know something was wrong, and they did it, and they didn't know because they simply did not study the Scriptures. You know, if you were driving down the road and the officer pulled you over for speeding, and you said, well, officer, I didn't know what the speed limit was, what would he say?
I can tell you what he would say. Ignorance is no excuse.
That's right. And so we're not going to have any excuse in the day of judgment for not knowing what the Scripture says. People
right.
are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But it's interesting also when you look to the book of Amos. In Amos at chapter 8, verses 11 to 13, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord Jehovah, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Jehovah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Jehovah, and they shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. People are going to be fainting and hungering because of their lack of God's word. You know, and the sad thing about this, Terry, is that ignorance people choose to be ignorant.
That's right.
They have made the free choice. They have made the wrong choices out of ignorance. They choose to be ignorant. They're making wrong choices because of ignorance. And when they stumble, they don't know where to turn. How many people's lives have been messed up from various things in this world, and they have no idea where to turn? If they had a better knowledge of God's Word, or any knowledge of God's Word, they would know more about where to turn to help them out in their difficult times
exactly.
in life. But what happens, Terry, if we don't have a knowledge of God's Word?
Well, one of the things that happens is that there is no real direction or guidance in life. If you turn over to the book of Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist writes, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We live in a dark world. The world as we see it around us is a world that is dark of God's word and of God's principles and morality. The only light that there is in this dark world is coming from the word of God. And there's no true joy, true peace or joy in this life without God's word. Same chapter, verses 111, writes, or the psalmist writes, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." You know, Tom, I'm convinced we live in a miserable society. Mm-hmm. And both of us know why this society is so miserable.
You know, it's because they lack the knowledge of God's word.
Exactly right.
Now, tonight, the number to call, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Another way of looking at the number is 1-855-722-4253. Tonight we're talking about Bible illiteracy. We've noted so far how that many people are destroying themselves because of a lack of knowledge. And as we've noted, people are making the wrong choices because of their lack of knowledge. And as Terry read for us a moment ago in the book of Psalms, people who have not the knowledge of God's word, they have no real direction or guidance in life. And really, without God's word in a person's life, there is no real joy. There is no real peace in life. How many people do you know, Terry, who are perhaps very wealthy, but are very sad?
That's right.
You know, we put our faith and our hope in the things of this world, but they can't bring true happiness. The psalmist says that only true joy and peace in life comes from a knowledge of God's word.
You see, if you put your joy in things that are changing, like our world does, mm-hmm. wealth, whatever, then the end result is, if we don't have the money we think we need or the looks or whatever it might be, the end result is we're not going to have joy or happiness. And this world doesn't offer it.
Exactly right.
Only the Word of God can give us the joy that doesn't ever change or alter.
You know, when we think about Bible illiteracy, Terry, not only does it affect individual people, but also there is a great effect taking place upon the church as a result of Bible illiteracy. What do we learn from this with regard to how ignorance can affect the body of Christ, the church?
Well, unfortunately, the people will rely on the preacher way too much mm-hmm. to guide them into the truth, which that's so dangerous. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12, the writer of Hebrews writes, "For though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." And the problem is, when you have shallow and weak teachers, you're going to have a shallow and weak congregation.
Most definitely.
If you have an eldership that is vacillating and don't expect that kind of Bible preaching and teaching like we need, then you're going to have a weak and shallow congregation.
You know, I find it interesting there that in Hebrews at chapter 5 and verse 12 that you just read for us, he said, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." That tells us that it ought to come to a time in everybody's life when they have the ability to teach and to preach what God's word is saying. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be able to stand in the pulpit and preach on Sunday morning in a gospel sermon. But all of us ought to come to enough knowledge of the truth to be able to teach our neighbors about how to become a Christian, how to live godly lives, and that's only going to come when we're involved in studying.
And you know what's sad, Tom? A lot of people are teaching or preaching that don't need to be.
That's exactly right.
If they don't have a knowledge of the truth, if they don't have a knowledge of God's word, they don't need to be teaching or preaching.
And I think we'll probably bring up some of this a little bit later in our program, but there's some people who are just flat-out dishonest with the Scriptures.
Amen.
And I believe very truly there are some people who know the truth, but do not want to teach the truth because it does not fall in with their agenda in life.
Exactly, not popular.
That's exactly right. You know, churches are also led astray by false teachers and false doctrine. many of them are ignorant of God's truth. They don't know what is false, and they're being led away. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. There are going to be people out there, Terry, who are going to bring in destructive heresies. They're going to be bringing in their doctrines privately. They're going to make merchandise of you. In other words, they're going to exploit you. And they're able to do this because of your lack of knowledge. Some people wouldn't know truth if it slapped them upside the face. That's why a lot of false teachers have inroads with the people, because people are just ignorant of God's word.
Yeah, it's a shame, but unfortunately, if you've got enough charisma, you can sell about anything, and unfortunately, you can even sell the truth.
Exactly. How many churches, Terry, do you think are dying on the vine, are going into wholesale apostasy, because their members cannot discern between truth and error?
It's a great concern.
It'd be sad to think about it.
It would, very.
Tonight we're talking about Bible illiteracy. We've been talking about the dangers of Bible literacy. We've been talking about the individual dangers. We've talked about the dangers to the church. But also, Bible illiteracy has a big effect on the communities around about us. And we see that, don't we, with regard to how it affects the national standard by which we live. Isn't it true, Terry?
It's very true. And it's scary, because people will rely more on some of the fad beliefs of our day rather than turning to the Word of God and seeing what God has to say about it. And our whole standard of morality are skewed. Like Isaiah said in Isaiah 5, verse 20, they call good evil and evil good. We see that every day, unfortunately, in our world. We slaughter the innocent in abortion and yet spare the guilty. Well, we have no capital punishment. Mm-hmm. The reward of the wicked, we reward the wicked. We look at them like heroes, and we look at some of the stars and what they've done. And yet some of those who are good, the teachers, etc., we deprive them of things that they need. Divorce is made easy. Adultery is looked upon way too lightly. Fornication has been dressed up as an affair or a relationship. And then, of course, there's that homosexuality, which is just called an alternative lifestyle.
Exactly. And so we see, when people aren't abiding by what the Scripture says, we see how that this brings a great immorality to our world. We've got to realize that when we have this kind of mentality regarding what the Bible says on morality, it's going to affect our nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. When we think about how the lack of Bible knowledge that not only affects the moral of our nation, but these things, lack of moral values, they also affect our families. They affect our communities. There's so much evil, promiscuity and pornography in our world. It's being allowed to spread in the name of freedom of the press. But when they passed the freedom of the press in our forefathers' laws, they weren't talking about pornography and things of that nature. Children many times are being deprived of the kind of parenting that is their God-given right to have, because parents don't have enough Bible knowledge to know what the Bible says about how we are to be involved in parenting. And so many times when people don't have a proper knowledge of God's Word, it leads to juvenile delinquency and even greater evils that are around about us.
I might make one point on that.
Betcha.
I read a statistic years ago that was given by a judge in a certain court around, I believe it was the Dallas area. He said that 80% of those that was brought before his bench, juveniles, did not or had not ever attended any kind of religious service or Sunday school or anything like that. So that ought to tell us something about how the Bible relates to morality.
Exactly right. You know, when we think about this idea of immorality and the evils of it, we've got to understand also that the moral fabric of our nation and others in the world are becoming so unraveled because everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes. You know, in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Well, you know, that's humanism.
Yes,
you know,
exactly
that's simply
right.
Doing what you want to do and not caring at all about what the Bible says. Now, I had it on my computer a moment ago, but I lost it. But I can give you the gist of what Joel Osteen has recently said. He has recently said, and we're going to have a radio program on this pretty quickly, I think. I just can't let this thing pass by. But he is condemning the apostles Peter, Paul, and John, saying that their teachings are outdated, they're not important. He's commending homosexuality. In essence, what Joel Osteen is teaching is universalism, where everybody is saved, everybody is accepted, nobody is condemned, nobody's going to hell. And you know, if that's true, Terry, why even have the Bible?
Amen.
You know, and we see there, here's a man who claims to be a preacher, but he is one who is leading millions, perhaps, astray. He is leading millions to hell because of his ignorance of God's Word. Now, sometimes people are willfully ignorant. I have every reason to believe that he knows better, but he's doing this, I believe, because he loves the almighty dollar.
That's right.
Look at where he lives. Look at the money he makes. All of this is because he wants to make big bucks, and he's leading people astray. He's making the people biblically illiterate and making them think that they're okay where they are.
You know, I wonder if he thinks his inspiration is greater than Paul or Peter or John.
I believe we might say his inspiration comes from the devil.
I believe so. I believe you're right in that, Tom.
You know, the poison of biblical illiteracy has infected and sickened our people, our churches, and our communities. Is there an antidote to this poison? Is there something that we can do to resolve, to head off the horrors and the evils that are besetting us in our world today? Now, before we get into that, I want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about Bible illiteracy. How bad is it? Well, we took a survey. We had a survey of some of the most sorry questions that, or sorry comments that people made about the Bible that are so far-fetched, like 12% of those surveyed believed that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And that just shows you how ignorant many people are of the Word of God. We begin looking at the poison of biblical illiteracy and how it has a great effect on individuals. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We've talked about its effect on the church, how that false teachers are sending many people to hell because of illiteracy of God's Word. And we talked about the effects on our community. When people don't know the moral standard of the Bible, our nation continues to grow worse and worse. Before we go on into the rest of our program, I want to remind you of our our sponsors. We're being sponsored tonight by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ Santo, Texas. Now remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, and by the way, we have a new phone system. We sure would like for you to call in so that we can check out and make sure everything's going just fine. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Terry, what is the antidote to biblical illiteracy?
Well, it's in that little phrase you just said, the Bible. You know, that's the cure. Daily devotional Bible reading in private. You know, I think one of the things that is the biggest problem in a lot of congregations is, you said this earlier, when asked a question, a religious question, people say, well, I think, or they'll say, well, my preacher, my pastor says. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the big problem. We need to be able to answer those questions with a biblical answer. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now notice this, Tom. "And in his law he meditates day and night."
And we think about that idea of meditate. You know, sometimes that comes up with the idea of, you know, being like a hippie sitting on the floor with your legs crossed and your fingers on your knees and doing some kind of chanting. When it talks about meditating on the scriptures, what is the psalmist talking about?
He's talking about reading, having a devotional, a private devotional, and studying that word.
Yeah, thinking about it. Running it over. You know, how many times, Terry, do we go down the highway and we're looking at a scripture or thinking about a scripture in our mind, and we just go over it in our mind and say, how does that apply to me? How can I better implement the idea of this passage in my life? That's a lot about meditating on the Word of God, thinking about it constantly. But, you know, you can only meditate on the verse as you're driving down the road unless you have committed it to memory.
That's right.
And so we see the importance there of constantly putting to mind the Word of God. What else does Psalmist say, Terry, about feeding upon the Word of God?
Well, in 119, now we read some passages out of 119 earlier, starting in verse 97 and 98. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." And the "they" that he's talking about is the scriptures and the commandments, because the more you meditate on them, the more they will stay with you. You will learn them. You will know them.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just mentioned here that Rick on the chat box mentions that Tolstoy has a daily reading plan. And according to that reading plan, you can read the New Testament through every single month. People say, "Oh, good, every month? Well, that's a lot of reading," you know, type of mentality. But when you think about it, you know, how much time do we spend watching TV? How much time do we spend reading the newspaper? How much time do we spend looking at Facebook and all of these other things? And we're talking, like, if I remember correctly, about 9 to 11 chapters a day. You know, that wouldn't take very long, really.
Maybe 30 minutes.
You can spend, maybe read half of the time in the morning, half of the time in the evening. Can you just think about it, Terry? If you read the New Testament through every single month, just think how much knowledge of the scriptures you would gain in 1 year.
That's right.
1 year.
Exactly.
What about 2 years? What about 3 years? You know, it's important. And just think how much better our lives would be and how we'd be able to share that with other people if we have a ready recollection. You know, people talk about a lot. You know, people pray a lot, "Well, I hope the preacher has a ready recollection." Well, He'll have a ready recollection if he studies.
If he studies.
And so studying the Scriptures is important.
It's amazing when you look at, you know, people will ask me, well, I'd like to have more faith. How can I have more faith? Well, the answer is in the question. If they're not having faith, they're not studying. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's word. So there's the answer.
You know, it's amazing that Rick on the chat box and mentions a preacher by the name of Robert Taylor, and I have many of his mm-hmm. books. And he said that Robert Taylor has read 10 chapters a day for 50 years.
Wow.
And if you hear the man speak,
right.
you know that he's been reading and memorizing. And just think how many times, you know, that's like 600 times reading the New Testament. You think any of this is going to stick in your head?
Oh, you know it.
You know, just reading, you know, you may not be good at memorizing, but if you read something over and over and over again, you know, and we know that when we read our Bibles, you know, sometimes we can't remember where it's at exactly, but we know it's on the right-hand corner of our page, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then as you begin reading it more, then you remember the actual verse. Then you remember the actual words. It comes, any kind of memorizing and learning, all the best way has always been repetition, repetition, repetition. One of the best ways to get rid of Bible illiteracy is what?
Repetition. Reading the Word constantly. Meditating on it day and night.
You know, a systematic practice of prayerful Bible reading as a part of a daily devotional will bring a person closer to God. It will gradually increase one's understanding of the Word of God and will offer strength, comfort, and hope that only the Scripture can provide. And so the question that I have for you tonight then is this. Are you willing to do your part every day in stamping out Bible illiteracy? Well, you know, not only are we to be involved, Terry, in devotional Bible reading, but also we need to be involved in frequent, in-depth Bible study with others and also with ourselves.
That's right.
But there's one thing to read. There's another thing to study. What does the Scriptures tell us there, Terry, about the importance of teaching one another and studying in depth the Word of God?
You know, there's a beautiful passage taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So Paul is telling us here in Hebrews 3, or the writer of Hebrews, is telling us that we need to encourage one another. And that's how, when we're together through our Bible study and our Bible research and through our learning, we encourage one another. Mm-hmm. We build one another up. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25, it tells us the best place on earth to do that. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
You know, when we think about this idea of study and the importance of it, we think, you know, passages like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 talked about the American Center says, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. You know, the King James translates that word as study. But the idea of it more is cut straight. It's to handle, to give diligence. In other words, to make ourselves approved unto God, we're going to have to give diligence to the Word of God. You know, a casual reading of the Scriptures, you know, a devotional type reading of the Scriptures, or a study on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, that's casual studying. To make yourself approved unto God and to be able to rightly handle the word of truth, we're going to have to give diligence in our study of God's word, and that's only going to come by our daily Bible study.
Amen.
Now, when we read a passage and we don't understand what the verse is talking about, what's some of the things that we can do to help ourselves before you flop off to some commentary or something?
Well, of course, one of the things I love to do, the first thing is open up the Bible and research through the Scriptures, mm-hmm. and look at maybe other matching passages, because there's a lot, and your Bible's got some helps in it. You got to be careful of those.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, it all goes back to study, Tom.
Yeah. And, you know, we think about words. A lot of times, yes, we don't know what something means because we don't really understand what a word means. You know, mm-hmm. how many times have you read through, a person might read through a certain word, you know, like... I can't think of a word right now, but there's lots of words in the Bible.
The word diligence you just mentioned.
Okay, yeah, diligence or study or, right, you know, Christ is our mediator or things like that. We'll come across, people read it and don't really understand what that word means. And so if they just stop and begin to look at the meaning of the word, then that's going to help us to understand,
right,
what the passage is all about. And we might also mention, you know, so, well, I'm never going to be a Greek scholar. How can I look up these words and understand what they mean? Well, there's a very easy way for us to do that. If you have a Vines, mm-hmm. Expository Dictionary, it's in English, and it helps you. Anybody, if you know how to work a dictionary, you can work Vines Expository Dictionary. And nowadays, you know, we've got eSword and various Bible helps on your computers that you can just put your cursor over the top of the word. And Strong's Dictionary gives you a definition.
That's right.
These are some important ways to help us to understand what a verse means. But also, and sometimes people can think they understand what a verse means, but they got it wrong because they've not looked at the context. When the Bible talks about context,
that's right,
what kinds of context are we talking about?
Well, the first thing, you've got to look at the immediate context. Uh-huh. And then when you study the immediate context, you look at a broader context, and then you consider it in reference to the whole scripture. For example, you know, it's kind of like a target. You've got to hone in on that passage, but you've got to examine it in light of its context and what the verses that surround it mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you catch that meaning, then and I think, Tom, this is one of the problems that happens a lot in people's Bible studies, that they will rip and tear verses out of context. And then, if you're reading a context, and if there's a contradiction with another passage in the broader scope of the context or a context of the Bible, then there's a problem in your interpretation.
Mm-hmm. You know, Denny on the chat box says, Tom, I always use the illustration of a farmer. I grew up in the wheat country. If the farmer only planted seed like many Christians study, he would only plant seed for an hour a day, a week, and that being generous considering many places have 15-minute sermonettes. If he did, he would never have a harvest and would lose his farm. The Christian that studies the same way will never have a spiritual harvest and will be in danger of losing our souls.
Good.
You know,
good.
So, and the more we study, the more we're going to gain personally.
That's right.
And people are going to see that in us. When they see that you have little Bible knowledge, they're going to see that.
Oh, yeah.
A man who has Bible knowledge, a woman who has Bible knowledge, is going to come out. You know, churches, congregations are often provided the opportunity to study together. Now, we realize we need more than this, but how many people, Terry, where you preach, or where I preach, don't show up for Bible classes?
It's unfortunate, but probably your attendance and my attendance would be two-thirds of what they'll be in worship.
You know, Rick mentions on the chat room that old-time preachers would begin their study by reading the book they're studying at least 20 or 30 times. Mm-hmm. You know, familiarizing yourself. And keep in memory, well, you can begin to see the flow of the book.
That's right.
When you're constantly reading it. We have so many people who evidently they're anti-Bible class because they don't come to Bible class on Sunday morning and they don't come to Bible class on Wednesday. They're missing great opportunity to study God's Word. You know, it's good to study by yourself, but it's also a great benefit to study with people around about
you. Oh, it is.
You know, to bounce ideas off of one another and things of that nature. And so the question that I have for our listeners tonight, are you willing to participate in such activities as Bible study to stamp out biblical illiteracy? But you know, another thing, Terry, that we need to do to stamp out biblical illiteracy is for parents. Parents accepting their God-given responsibility. You know, and Terry, that's a big part in this whole scenario. We've got to, as parents, teach our children. You know, and is it not true, Terry, that God... We have a phone call coming in here. Just hold on a second. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please.
Hey, Brother Tom, Terry, Micah, this is Eric. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good, Eric. How are you doing?
Oh, just trying to get back to my home away from home. You know how it is.
Yeah. Well, what do you got in mind tonight?
Y'all were talking about illiteracy and how to deal with it. Y'all had a lot of good comments tonight and how to do that, but I know when I went to school down in Austin, the biggest thing that I really found out how to really deal with that was to, you know, take a chapter of scripture and go through it and start maybe highlighting some key words or maybe read two or three verses and sit down and look at it and say, okay, what's the main point here? And maybe write down something that was key in that first two or three verses and then do some more and do the same thing all through the chapter and then kind of go back and cover it some more and find something else. And I know, of course, y'all do this all the time, every day, but I've always heard people say, well, you know, the preacher just knows more than us. And I'm like, well, we can have that same ability and know the same amount if we just sit down and study and be diligent to study our scriptures. And, you know, we can be just as strong as a preacher. And why should the preacher have to do all the study?
You know, I heard a story told one time about a young preacher went up to N.B. Hardiman and said, Brother Hardiman, I'd give 50 years of my life to know the Bible like you. N.B. Hardiman says, you know, that's about what it takes.
Yes, sir.
And so
that's
you're right.
About what it takes.
You're right, Eric, that, you know, we need to, as Christians, not just the preacher, but give diligence in our study. The preacher's not any smarter than anybody else, and you know that's for a fact because you know me. But we know the scriptures because we give much time in study of the scriptures.
Well, you exactly. What our priorities are once we get, you know, I know a lot of people, they all have their jobs and stuff, but at the same time, what's your priority away from your job? I mean, when you get home, what's your priorities? Are they not in a way and manner which you need to give time to God? And, you know, a lot nowadays people talk about, well, there's nothing good on TV. Well, then turn it off and give your time to God. You mm-hmm. sit down and study your Bible like we need to every day.
You know, when we think about the time we do spend on watching TV or reading the newspaper or reading some novel, we could spend a lot of time. You know, it should be very easy for us to read 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening and studying God's Word. And if we did that, we would probably be able to read the New Testament through every single week.
Amen.
Can you imagine being like Robert Taylor and reading the New Testament through some 600 times? You think he knows the New Testament?
That's right. I've heard Robert speak, and it's something else to sit sit in a pew and listen to that man speak, because he can quote several scriptures and not even have the Bible open. The man knows the scriptures very well.
I have never seen him use one single note in all the years I've heard him preach. So he's a man of the book.
I ain't neither.
Well, I appreciate your call, Eric. Good to have you with us.
Well, thanks, guys. Y'all take care and keep up the good work.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good hearing from you, Eric.
Well, when we think about the idea then here of Bible illiteracy, one of the reasons that we can stop Bible illiteracy is by parents accepting their responsibility. Moses addresses that issue, doesn't he?
He does, and if I tell you, you've got several keys to this very subject and taken from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you'll look at starting in verse 6 of chapter 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You can't teach what you don't know. So parents, first of all, they've got to know God's book. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates, and on your refrigerator, and on your walls. Well, I added the last two.
Yeah, I mean, it's in other words, we're supposed to be filling our lives.
That's right.
You know, we as parents, now my kids are all grown up, but I take the opportunity to teach my grandkids. And we should, as parents, as grandparents, you know, we talk to them a lot about baseball, and we want to show them how to throw a football, mm-hmm. and how to skin a coon, or sharpen a pocket knife, or maybe city kids don't talk how to skin a coon. But, you know, I talk to my grandkid about pocket knives and guns. Why aren't we talking to our kids and our grandkids about the Word of God? That's part of parents teaching their children. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 that we are to do what? We are to bring up a child, you know, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you know. So it's important for us to train them, you know. There's a, you know, when you think about that word train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, It's more than just simply saying something. But don't, when we train somebody to do something, don't we show them how to do it?
Exactly.
You know, if I was going to teach my grandson how to sharpen a knife, I wouldn't just tell him. I would show him.
Right.
And we need, as parents, in our teaching, to also show them by the way we live. And that's very important to the teaching. We should expect church, we should not expect the church to do the teaching for us. Now, they can help us a lot, but when you think about a child and the time he's in services, we're talking about an hour for Bible class, 30-minute sermon, an hour for Wednesday night Bible class. You know, we're talking maybe 2.5 hours at best a week. That's not enough time.
No.
To raise your children. That is where the parents need to come in. The preacher, the Bible classes can help, but it has to be the parents that are going to be involved in this. And parents should not relinquish their responsibility to the church. The church is just an aid, a help.
That's right.
It's the parents' responsibility to be involved in the teaching of their children. And the question that I have for all of our listeners tonight, are you willing to accept your parental duty to stamp out biblical illiteracy? You know, and sadly, Terry, there are a lot of preachers who are not fulfilling their duty to the Word of God. There are a lot of preachers who are sadly biblical illiterate. What does Apostle Paul have to say about the importance, Terry, of preachers? Now, when he writes to Timothy, he's writing to a preacher.
Right.
And so, you know, Timothy, the books of Timothy are books about preaching. Of course, they're about helpful for other things as well. But if you want to know about preaching, go to the book of 1 and 2 Timothy.
Exactly, exactly. Well, when you look at what he wrote in the first letter, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, and notice this, Tom, you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a double-edged sword there, that we take care of our needs, but we also take care of those needs that are listening to us.
Exactly. When you think about the book of 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we have some more insight into really what the preacher's supposed to be all about. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside into fables. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. You know, how can, Terry, a preacher preach anything if he didn't know what the Word of God says?
Exactly right.
Well, we have a lot of people, it's just like Joel Osteen that we talked about a moment ago, how that he said that Paul and Peter and John were outdated, and they were wrong in their assessments of homosexuality and heaven and hell and all of this. That's just pure Bible ignorance.
Amen.
Or it's just flat out deception. And I really believe, Terry, that a lot of the false doctrine that's going on in our world today is pure, outright deception.
Agreed.
You know, we think about this idea. Would we not expect, Terry, preachers to be men of the book?
Exactly. I mean, that's what God would expect.
You know, when we talk about preaching and teaching the Word of God, we've got to be able to provide an exposition of the Scriptures. And we're not talking, you know, today we have too much pop theology and
that's
pop
right.
psychology.
That's
and,
right.
You know, sermonettes are for Christianettes
yeah.
who speak, smoke cigarettes
yeah.
type of thing, you know.
That's right.
And so the question I have tonight is, are you willing to require that preachers proclaim the word to stamp out biblical illiteracy? You know, tonight we've been talking about biblical illiteracy. We began by talking about the dangers of Bible illiteracy and how that many are being poisoned in their personal lives. It's affecting them very adversely. People are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We've talked about the effects that Bible illiteracy is having on the church. Churches are being destroyed or taken away into false doctrine in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 because of biblical illiteracy. We've seen how that biblical illiteracy also affects our communities. Our standards of morality are being skewed where that which is good is being called evil and that which is evil is being called good. Well, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. And we talked about the antidote. What were some of the antidotes, Terry, that we've talked about tonight that will help us to be able to overcome this biblical illiteracy?
Well, one of them, of course, would be our own personal studies and our relationship to the Word of God and our personal studies. Another would be in-depth studies with others as we attend and go to Bible classes and worship assemblies. The third we just talked about a moment ago, Tom, is parents accepting their God-given responsibility to teach their children. And then lastly, we talk about the responsibility of preachers to fulfill their ministry in teaching others of God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, again, are you willing to require that to do what it requires, whether it be personally, whether it be among your families, whether it be as a gospel preacher, to stamp out biblical illiteracy. One fellow said, churches must recover the centrality and urgency of Bible teaching and preaching, and refuse to sideline the teaching ministry of the preacher. Preachers and churches too busy or too distracted to make biblical knowledge a central aim of ministry will produce believers who simply do not know enough to be faithful disciples. Mm. You know, how can we, Terry, be as evangelistic as we ought to be and benevolently minded as we ought to be without good knowledge of the Scriptures? That's where, and I focus on this and I emphasize it time and time again there at Hamilton. Bible knowledge is the key to everything.
Amen.
You know, another fellow said, we will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs. The many fronts of Christian compromise is in this generation can be directly traced to biblical illiteracy in the pews and the absence of biblical preaching and teaching in our homes and in our churches. You know, it's important for us. It's vital that we be people of the book.
Amen.
And one final quote is this. This generation must get deadly serious about the problem of biblical illiteracy, or a frighteningly large number of Americans, Christians included, will go on thinking that Sodom and Gomorrah lived happily ever after. Mm. You know, we live in a society where people indeed are biblically ignorant. Turn over there to James chapter 1 and verse 21 for us, Terry, and notice there how that we need to be people who are getting deadly serious about the problem of biblical illiteracy, and if we are, James tells us what we're going to be doing.
Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
You know, that's the key to everything.
It is.
To receive with meekness the implanted, the engrafted, depending on your translation.
That's right.
The word of God. Terry, thanks for filling in for David tonight.
My pleasure.
David may or may not be in next week, and we want to thank Micah Dawson, who is the board man tonight, the sound man, and he's doing a good job for us. We appreciate him filling in for Frank Briscoe, and we want to thank you for listening in. We want to remind you, as always, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.